It is a joy to be with you all. I always look forward when we can get out to San Angelo and be here with this congregation, and we continue to be so excited about the work that's going on here. And I've stood here before. I'm not sure I'm not a pew further or two back. So it's good to see the good work that's going on here. And we certainly keep you all in our prayers and covet your own. I love the prophet Jeremiah for the work that he did, but the attitude that he was able to maintain in his life as well. This was a man that could easily look back on a lot of hardship, and he could say a lot about the things that had happened to him in life. A man that there are times he became discouraged because he would try to go forth and preach the Word of God, and they wouldn't listen. They tried to throw him in a pit. They tried to kill him. He could reach a point in his life, and I imagine there were many times that he wanted to stand up and say, "I told you so." He has to witness the destruction of Jerusalem and see the downfall that was coming, and the people wouldn't listen to him. He would stand there and he'd say, "Don't go down into Egypt," and he'd see them go down into Egypt and carry him right along with him. And he knew the end and the hardship that was going to come because of all of these things. And even when you come into the book of Lamentations, and still you kind of have a backwards look at some of those things, and a man that, again, could very easily say, "What a horrible, miserable time that we have," and yet he was able to maintain this attitude that can look at all that had happened and to his people and the rejection that they had of God's Word, and yet he would still come back and be able to say in Lamentations 3, and verse 22 through 24, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him." He's destroyed our nation in a sense. Really, they had destroyed it themselves by not listening to God, but He had allowed these things to come upon him, and yet he says, "I know the Lord is faithful," and the Lord continues to bless his people. He's still going to be there for us. And that is a wonderful concept. Even as we got to look tonight in Acts 19, there were times Paul suffered great hardship wanting to preach the gospel, and yet he could turn around and he said, "I know the Lord is still going to be there for his people." And we can go through hardships today and difficulties and yet still be able to look back and say, "I know that the Lord is going to be there for his people." I want to try to quickly maybe look through just a few ideas here. What happens when we look at the mercies of God? And primarily I'm going to consider this from the concept of the psalmist. The psalmist who begins in Psalm 1 with the idea of turning to God's Word, and we would be like a tree that's planted in the rivers of water, and how fitting you come to the end. And it ends on this note of praise. When we turn to God, we're rooted in Him, and we ought to praise Him. Psalm 150 and verse 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." It ends with that joy. I would submit unto you that when the psalmist continually throughout the Psalms looks at what God has done for him and for his people, that number one, he was overwhelmed. We sing that song, "Count Your Many Blessings." How do you number them? How do you really reach an end of numbering the blessings of God? I'd suggest to you, when the psalmist considered the blessings of God, he was overwhelmed. Psalm 8 and verse 4, the idea, "What is man? Well, I consider all that you have made and the glory of all that you did. Who am I? What is man that you are mindful of him?" Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9, "Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wonderful works unto the children of man. He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things." I would suggest to you, he has this attitude. We can't number the blessings of God. They are numerous, and even as Jeremiah gives us those words, they are new every morning. And then number two, it caused him then to turn and pour out praise to God. When I stop and I think about what God has done for us, should I not turn and then want to praise God, to call upon others even to do the same? Psalm 107 again, verse 31 and 32. "Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, praise him in the assembly of the elders. And time again, you will see that. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. That idea, I'm going to pour out praise when I consider the blessings that God has given unto me. Are we thankful to God? Do we praise him for all that he has done? Let me charge you with number three. He expresses it. You see, he counts his blessings. He's overwhelmed. He praises God. But how is he really thankful? Well, he expresses it. He expresses it with thanks to God, and he expresses it by speaking of these things even unto other people. We could go again. Psalm 107. Verse 1 and 2. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You've been saved. You've been given hope. You've been redeemed. You've been lifted up. You've been blessed. Say so. Speak forth the praises of God. Tell others about even the wonderful praises of God. We ought to have the attitude of Psalm 66 and verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Let me tell you about how God has blessed me. I'm going to praise God, but I'm also going to tell other people. It goes back to that idea, I think, even as we've looked tonight. What did Paul want to do? He wanted to go forth and tell people about God. Tell them of the blessings that he's given unto him and in his life. Praise the Lord and tell others. Go forth and speak of all that God has done. And I'm going to suggest to you number four. The psalmist, when he considered the things of God, he became even more thankful. I don't remember where I first heard this or someone referenced it, but Henry Ward Beecher says, the unthankful heart discovers no mercies. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every hour some heavenly blessing. If you wake up every morning thinking about the deficiencies that you have, thinking about your health problems, thinking about the troubles that you have, thinking about all the negative things, you're going to have no shortage. You'll find those negative things to grumble and complain about. If you wake up as Jeremiah did, and he said, the blessings of the Lord are new every morning, and you begin hunting for them, you're going to find them. Someone said one time, if you're not feeling all that thankful, try to list out five things. Start with five things that you say, I'm thankful for these things. Determine to do the same thing the next day, and what you're going to find, I believe, is it's going to be easier and easier and easier every day. And you're going to begin looking around and say, oh, I didn't think about that. There's something that I have been blessed with. I didn't think about this. Here is something else. And we begin to look for those things that we're thankful for, and it becomes easier and easier. Psalm 107, verse 43, who is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of God. You begin to recognize his blessings, and it's cyclical. You go back to point one. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to recognize all that God has done for you. Let me fast forward then and think about Paul. I've often joked before, Paul wrote 11 chapters to get to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Here he's written 11 chapters about the salvation that we can enjoy in Jesus Christ, the salvation that he longed to go forward and preach. And much like Jeremiah, he was thankful for what God had done unto him, and for him, and for all of his people. You could go back into Romans 11, verse 33, the depth and the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, his ways past finding out. He thinks about all that God has done. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, I beg with you, I plead with you, by the mercies of God, by everything that He's done for us, by the way in which He has richly blessed our lives, by the salvation that He's provided in Jesus Christ, by all of these things, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe there's a sense there in which Paul is saying, you go and live it. And you're going to prove to yourself and those that see you that the way of the Lord is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What's he calling upon us to do? You consider all that God has done for you. As it were, you count your blessings. You be like the psalmist. Pour out praise unto God. Tell others about it. But ultimately it comes back here. You go forth and you live for God because He has so richly blessed you. Each of us have been richly blessed. We have been richly blessed by God in many physical things and also many spiritual things. The question now we have for us is, what am I going to go forth and do? How am I going to live? As I consider the great blessings of God and what He's done for me in Jesus Christ, I want to know Him more. How am I going to live for you? How am I going to serve you? Maybe it's time that I've been walking my own way and it says, no, I want to turn and I want to walk with God and be like so many that we read of there in the book of Acts, that time and again they heard the gospel, they believed the gospel. They were ready to put that into action in their life, that we were going to see a change, and so they would repent. Their change of mind would lead to a change of action of their life. They'd go forth and burn great valuable possessions, their books, because no longer are we going to walk after those things, but after God. They would confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and they would be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins. And just as those sins were washed away, just as they were added unto the church, we have those same wonderful results even today. And maybe we also need to go forth and recognize that as we continue to be blessed by God, I ought to continue to live my life for Him, continue to mold it, to be more and more an imitator of God, Ephesians 5 and verse 1. And so maybe I've stumbled and strayed from that, and it's time to come back. Because I want to be like Him, and I want to walk. People continue to look forward to those wonderful promises that He's given us. And so maybe there's a change that needs to come in our lives. And I know we have a great congregation here that will surround you and want to welcome you and help you in any way. And maybe all of us can go forth, even if there's not a public need that we're going to respond to tonight, maybe all of us can go forth with a greater appreciation for the mercies of God, looking for and, as it were, counting those blessings that we are given each and every day. The invitation is before us. If you're subject to it, if we can help you in any way, wouldn't you let it be known? Together we stand as we sing.